Thank you, Ronyal and team. Wow, what great worship this morning. Thank you so much. Well, the title of our time in God's Word this morning in Matthew chapter 5 and a little bit in John chapter 20 is Salt and Light, which is what Jesus is going to say to us. This is who you are. And then he says a third thing, and this is what you will experience. And then we're going to ask this question, locked in or sent out? It's not that easy to receive this teaching of Jesus and live it. And so that's our question this morning. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, would you help us to hear Jesus as though he were here speaking? Would you help us to listen to you, Holy Spirit, the one who's been sent and given to us? Help me, Lord, would you anoint my words, my mind? May what is heard and received bring glory to your name and be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin reading at verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you. What a great crowd starter that is. Let me just get you warmed up for this amazing message. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In the Beatitudes, in this short section that we've been looking at throughout these summer months, Jesus is defining, this is what it means to follow me. This is what it means to live as I live. In other words, the way we grow and develop, the character that grows in us, results from a practiced belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news. This is the gospel. And when we live it and learn it and practice it, this is what results in a transformed life. Transformed how we think, transformed how we listen to the news, transformed about what we understand the purpose of our life to be and what we choose day in and day out. These verses, however, are shifting the focus. What Jesus is about to say is, in verses 1 to 10, if you have this relationship with the living God, then this is the relationship you will have with everyone else around you as part of the world community of which you are a part. God appointed the day of your birth. You are here by his appointment. So Jesus is shifting now. The first 10 verses he's saying, this is what happens inside of you when you walk with me. And now in verse 11 he says, and this is what you should start to experience in the world. And the first thing he says is, you will have pain. Man, I wish that wasn't real. I'd much rather start with this. You will be the salt of the earth. We all know and have heard, I'm sure, many of us, that in ancient times, salt was used both for flavor and preserving. We put salt, even today, where food is in danger of breaking down, stems the decay. My grandpa, on my mom's side, this will help you understand a part of who I am, was born in Newfoundland. So yes, indeed, folks, I am part Newfie. My family just nods and says, yes, God have mercy upon him. My grandpa owned a fishing fleet, and back in the day, they caught cod, split it, dried it, and put it on salt so that the fish would not break down. and decay. And that's not all that long ago. I'm not as ancient as it may seem. This is an intriguing image, because what Jesus is saying is when someone's life is breaking apart, the followers of Jesus move forward. They don't move back. When people are hard to love, when they're irrational, where they're truly broken and dysfunctional, the people of Jesus do not cross their arms and step to the side and say, wow, get somebody call a professional. The people of Jesus move forward, because with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about that in a moment, you have, by your presence and understanding and listening and compassion, you have preserving impact. Jesus says, step forward. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul says, He, the Lord of glory, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That is the gospel. That's why we step forward, because it is the presence of Jesus that holds things, more specifically, holds people together when they are coming apart. You, says Jesus, are the light of the world. Different metaphor. He's saying something about human society. When Jesus talks about light, light throughout Scripture symbolizes truth. It talks about a revealing, a disclosing, an opening up presence. That's who we become. People who embrace the light. People who are of the light. The light reveals hope or joy. It also reveals hiddenness and secrecy and the things that are causing internal decay, decay from the inside out. And the light sometimes is scary because we're not sure what it's going to do. But Jesus says, no. You walk in the light as I am in the light. You are the light of the world. Both metaphors call us to move forward. This has great relevance for me right now. In my work with Global Disciples, I've been asked with a small team of three to go to North Africa, particularly now, the first week of September, to West Africa. And I'm watching the news with keen interest about the spread of the Ebola virus. I watch that medical doctor and that medical professional fly home to the U.S. who were working with Samaritan's Purse. One drop of fluid can take your life. And I'm thinking, Lord, who are those people? Who are the people that volunteer to go forward to help the people with Ebola? The rest of the world runs. But God has appointed people to step forward. And I got to tell you, I'm a little bit anxious about going to West Africa. But, you know, I know that that's God's call. And I know the people who are crying for our help. The Holy Spirit is doing a work in North Africa. And I need to go. And so what I want to share with you this morning, I want you to know, it's impacting me. And my choice to go, even as the risk increases. So I want us to jump from this teaching of Jesus to an experience that the disciples had only weeks after he taught this. That's not right. About 2 years after he taught this. John chapter 20, Jesus has been crucified. There's rumors going around. And here's what John says happened to him and the whole group. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Wow. So this is now a testing point. Why? Because the disciples are inside a locked room. Kind of a self-protective place. Behind walls. And Jesus shows up. That's what he does. It is, if you will, Easter Sunday evening. Judas is dead. Thomas is not there. 10, maybe a few others are there. It has been a long and frightening week. Their hopes have been buried with Jesus' body. They know his body is missing. They don't know what's going on. Mary has a different story, saying, I have met the Lord. Others are saying, no, we saw angels. But here's the reality. That whole group, resurrection is not part of their worldview. In the Jewish culture, resurrection happens for everybody at the end of time. It does not happen in the middle of life to any individual or to any ethnic group or village group or tribal group. It's not part of their worldview. And so they're having trouble like everyone else. Jesus walks in and changes everything. The work of the enemy in our life as we seek to follow Jesus and believe the gospel is to lead us to believe that living inside locked places is the most secure part of where we can live. And it's a lie from hell. To live inside a locked room is to live with fear or to live with secret sin or to live with pain. And how we get out of that room changes everything. If we choose to get out of that locked place by just stealing ourselves, increasing the self-protected way we live and saying, I will not allow people to hurt me again. Or if we choose to come out of that locked room by saying, look, nothing is going to be gained by confession. I blew it. It's a part of my past. It's just going to stay buried and out of sight. See, there are many ways to come out of a locked room. But unless we come out of a locked space by the power of God's Holy Spirit and regain our identity and our life function as salt and light, we end up in a diminished, poverty-stricken place. So Jesus shows up and he does some very interesting things. First of all, he speaks his peace over his followers who are inside a locked room. This is where the gospel begins. It does not begin with us searching for Jesus. Relationship is restored because Jesus finds us. Wherever we are, he knows where we are. And it's not just geographical. The order of the next three things he does is very critical, and it has everything to do with us celebrating communion this morning. When he speaks peace, it's not just, you know, calm your hearts, calm your fear. He speaks the shalom of God, the wholeness, the groundedness, the reorienting of mind and heart and body and soul. Peace. Let the shalom of God flow in you. And then he says, look, here are my hands and my side. Look at my wounds. And then he says a second time, peace to you. The death and resurrection are the defining acts of God's redeeming presence, aren't they? In all of creation. It is his wounds that give power to the declaration of peace. What is Jesus saying? You may or may not believe in the power of my word, but here is my life. And when I say peace over you, my life is behind it. The blood and body of Jesus is pouring into you the shalom of God. Will you receive it? Especially when the enemy, when your own fear, your own sin, or the cruelty of others has resulted in you staying inside of a locked place. Will you let the shalom of God that is grounded in the blood and body of Jesus come upon you in a powerful, life-giving way? That's where he starts. And when that happens, we come out of our locked room, and it's not a sin to be inside of a locked place. Life, as well as the enemy of our soul, will drop us behind walls and inside what we think are safe places. But Jesus shows up. He comes after us. He will not abandon us. And nothing will separate you from his love and his presence. And he finds us. And then he says, walk with me. Walk with me out of this place. But walk with me. Don't do this self-protected, tough exterior thing. That might get you out of the room, but it won't get you out of the room in the way I want you to come out. And the way I want you to come out is so that you will come out of that place and walk across the street. Walk across the drive or the lawn. Walk across even the world. Walk with me. It's our mission. That's what Jesus is saying here. So the first thing he says, peace. And then he says, this peace becomes the foundation of mission. And there is no sustainable mission without the sustainable peace of Christ. It's too hard. So God calls us to move. He's always looking for men and women who will respond to his invitation. Walk with me. Think about the whole story of the Bible. Walk with me, he says to Noah and to Abraham and to Moses. Walk with me, he says to Esther and to Abigail and to Naomi and to the slave girl of Naaman. Walk with me, he says to the prophets. Walk with me, he says to John the Baptist and to all of the disciples and to you and me. Walk with me. Walk across the lawn, the drive, wherever, the street. And after he said that, then the third thing is the breath of Christ. With that, with his sending, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Interesting that the first experience of the disciples with Jesus in his glorified state is the breath of God, and that breath became a rushing wind just days later. When they were gathered together, now not out of fear, but waiting for the breath to become the wind of God blowing upon them. The Spirit of God is sent into the world when Jesus returns to the Father, and everything changes. And Jesus, in these just few words, says, here are three things that you must know. And you must open your life to receive and live in day after day after day. Number one, this Spirit that I will send will create life in you. You will not create it in yourself. You can try, but receive the Holy Spirit that his life might be growing in you. This is the gospel. It's where he imparts to us the life that we need. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, a new person. To Nicodemus, Jesus said, you must be born again. There needs to be an impartation of life. And today, people, we know. We know for how long we've lived our own life with no experience of the Holy Spirit, never being born again. To just be in church is not an evidence of being born alive in the Spirit of God. It comes through surrender and openness and asking of Jesus to come. And that's when the Spirit of the Lord is given to rebirth us. Secondly, that Holy Spirit enables us to live with a whole new depth of wholeness and holiness, the shalom of God. Many followers of Jesus have the Holy Spirit living in them, but they have never been gripped by his power. I don't know what terminology really to use here, but there is another experience. There is another place of openness to the power and to the leading of seeking his wisdom at the beginning of your day and doing it, practicing it, believing. It's my story. Committed my life to Jesus as a young child at camp. And all of a sudden, the difference between a young child's faith and a late teen confrontation with a murder-suicide changed my world. And I was angry with God who could allow such evil to happen in the world. And it was in the midst of that wrestle that I began bargaining with God. You know, I'm in control here, God. I'll tell you what I want. I want everything or nothing. What I didn't realize is that the Holy Spirit was beginning to create in me that determination, that hunger. All or nothing, God. I don't want to pretend Christian role. I want nothing about that. I want it all for real or nothing at all. And in the midst of my struggle in the wee hours of the morning, all of a sudden, this is what I saw. Wait a minute. Jesus, you've given me everything already? Why did I not understand that? And I remember as a 17-year-old getting out of my bed. I probably knelt down as a little kid, but I don't remember it. I do remember at 17 kneeling beside my bed in my own room in the middle of the night and saying, you've got a deal. You gave me everything. I give you my life. That experience with the Holy Spirit has been repeated and repeated and repeated, not identically, but the creating of a hunger and the realization of that song that the worship team just led us in. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Out of that birth, out of that empowering to live a new life, then the Holy Spirit gives us power to go. That's where our strength, that's where our boldness, that's where we begin to think with the mind, if you will, of a first responder. Lord, I want to be one of those people that moves forward. Don't let me get lost in culture that moves back and self-protects. Don't, Lord, let me be so blind that I don't even know I'm living in a locked room. Get me out of locked rooms. If it's my own sinfulness, break my heart for the sake of your glory, for my own life. Oh, God, break through to me that I will not hide. I will not pretend. I will humble myself before you. If the locked room is because of the cruelness and the pain that others have inflicted on me, I don't want to live in that place. I don't want to live in that locked space feeling sorry for myself, because that will stop me from moving forward and risking being hurt again. I do not want to live in a locked room. God, get me out of locked rooms. Listen to the word of Jesus in Luke 11:13. If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just ask. Just ask. There will come a time when we experience a hunger. Just ask. And in that place of hunger, we will encounter the Holy Spirit in a way that will just unnerve us. But it will get us out of where we're blocked and where we're stopped, or where we're self-protecting, or where we're fearful. It will move us beyond. And then Jesus says, and here is your assignment. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Really? What a shocking statement. The commission, or the assignment we would expect John to record, is now, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. But that's not what John records. Not right now. This is Easter Sunday night, and this is what Jesus said to us. If you forgive, people are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. Wow. Wow. So let me say something about understanding what Jesus says in the light of everything else he has said. Number one, God alone has the power and the authority to do this. This is not making us mini gods. But what Jesus is saying, forgiving is going to be the prime activity of a follower of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness will be the display of the reality of the life in us in the name of Jesus. What does John say? We will be known by our love. Well, what does that mean? Unconditional love is forgiving love. It is forgiving love. That's what this table reminds us about. You know, there's a great translation of this verse in the New English translation, and here's what it says. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained. I get that. Why would we ever want to retain anyone's sins against us? My granddaughters, and probably your children and your granddaughters, if you're in my category, know by word almost the entire movie of Frozen. But there is a song now that even this grandpa knows. What is it? Let it go. Could we all just stand and sing? No. It's one of those songs, when it gets into your head, it never gets out. I'm sorry for mentioning it. But it just came to me, right? Let it go. Let it go. And what an interesting analogy. Who wants to live frozen or inside of a locked place? Jesus arrives inside of their locked place. He speaks peace to them. He shows them his wounds. He declares his peace upon them, and then he sends them. Now go. As the Father has sent me. In other words, these are the wounds that resulted in the Father sending me. And so, you are salt, and you are light, and you will be wounded. Blessed are you when you are wounded and persecuted and cursed because of me. Blessed are you. Don't go into a locked place. Walk with me. To be sent is to be wounded. Every pastor knows that, let me tell you. Every team leader, everyone who is a friend and a neighbor in the name of Jesus. Peace to you. Look at my wounds. Peace to you. Now go. Father, you invite us to come to your table in the name of Jesus. May we hear this morning, as we are gathered together in the middle of this beautiful summer, let us hear your word and let us be open to your breathing upon us. If any of us, Lord, right now, here in this place, are inside a locked room, oh, Holy Spirit, because of the wounds of Jesus, speak again and again and again until we hear your voice and open our hands and ask you to set us free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your teaching. Even when you say, blessed are you when people insult you. Thank you when you have told us that we are the salt of the earth. Thank you when you say to us that we are the light of the world. Help us, Lord, to be aware of locked rooms and to know the way out for your glory. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, just renew in us gratitude for you and a hunger to walk with you. We worship you, Lord. In the mighty power of your name we pray. Amen.